Welcome back to Restoring Home, where we discuss marriage, parenting, and faith. And our topic today is training the heart of a child to serve others. Our guests are Talon and Allie Treb, and we're glad you guys came. Thanks.
Thank you for having us.
We got to meet you all. We were at your home, anyway, a week or so ago, and got to meet your daughters and spend a little time with them. And they are delights. You really have done a fine job.
They showered us with gifts as soon as we walked in the door, practically. It was so sweet.
That's right. And we saw that with the little paper gifts, and I don't know, made some things out of diamonds, whatever, little trinket thing they
we'll
put together.
Diamonds, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
They were great. And right then we knew that you guys are doing the right things and your kids, but they were so happy to bring us the little cards they made and everything. So we thought, well, this is a great couple to interview to talk a little bit about how you did that with your kids and how you get that heart in your kids. And as we do, first of all, tell us a little bit about your family. Just introduce yourselves to those who don't know you.
Sure. I'm Talon Treb. I'm 33. This is my wife, Allie. We've been married for over 10 years now. We met sophomore and junior years of high school. Been together since then, basically, well, for the most part. We have four daughters now, Eden, who is 9, Leora is 7, Joelle is 4, and Talia is 2.
Yeah, and we homeschool, and I'm a stay-at-home mom, so we really enjoy that,
good.
Being home.
Okay. Well, I was at home for a while, for work, for a year, and first 3 months were good. But then I'm glad to be back now.
We learn to appreciate moms and all
you
their work.
You do, absolutely.
Right. Yes.
Which is real work. Yeah. It's really important. And by the way, I try to encourage that moms take those first years of their kids' lives to train them, because it's then that it's the vital time and you can miss it. Mm-hmm. Those first 5 years of your child's life, that's when mom can really put a lot in there. So I can tell you've done a lot of good work. And so we want to talk about that some. There's a passage in Ephesians 6, verse 4, that talks about training and instructing your children in the Lord. And that word is important, the word for train there, that we're sort of keying off of today, is a really important word. And it's in Greek, it's the word paideia. And it means, the example I've heard is that a mother or grandmother with a sick child or a child who's been sick and has lost his or her appetite, that the mother would dip their finger in dates, sweet dates, and then take that, put it to the child's lips or tongue so they can taste the dates, and it sort of gives them an appetite to eat again. Mm. And so training is the idea of molding the character, giving your kids an appetite for something, for example, service, like we're talking about today, how to give them an appetite for those things by giving them little tastes of service. Opportunities to learn and experience what it's like to serve. And so that's the idea behind training your child in any character trait, is to give them a taste of it, the good or the bad, if you according to which way you want it to go, to shy away from things they shouldn't do or to lean towards things that they should. So that's the idea of training. We won't talk about that today with regard to service.
We were wondering how you guys just learned yourselves to be servants. Mm-hmm. What did you guys do? Did you have some spiritual disciplines or just...
Well, I think
are you naturally servants.
No, I think at the end of the day, we kind of had similar backgrounds to a point. Growing up, I think for me personally, it was my family, especially my mom and my grandmother. They still to this day, they exhaust themselves just to help others, just to serve others. Mm-hmm. Even my grandmother, when we lived with them for 3 years growing up, after my parents had gotten divorced, just even her with my grandfather, just doing everything for him. And I don't think I really appreciated it at the time in growing up. Honestly, it probably annoyed me more than anything, because it did. It took time away from things I could do, or it would take my mom's time or my grandma's time, and it was selfish. It was selfishness. Mm-hmm. I don't think I really gained an appreciation for that.
Mm-hmm. But you saw it modeled for you.
Yes.
And so, and I feel like in my life as well, my parents would, they'd just take the coat off their back and give it to anyone, give them people their time, their energy, And I feel like, you know, your mom as well, you know, we just have had that in our lives just mm-hmm. surrounding us. Mm-hmm. So so I think it comes maybe more natural to us mm-hmm. because we have had those examples mm-hmm. in our life. So
it is that you basically had your lives dipped into the yes. sweet honey or dates mm-hmm. of service, and you saw it was good, and you had good experiences mm-hmm. with mm-hmm. it, and so you do that yourself. You right. have yeah. inclination towards that. Right?
And I think that's part of it. I mean, the foundation of seeing that growing up, but I don't think it was till probably college for me, like when I really, I guess, be more mature in my faith. Mm-hmm. Like I always had faith, but I didn't act on it. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's till you have that piece as well mm-hmm. that you mm-hmm. actually can see that side of basically servitude mm-hmm. and what it means to be a servant mm-hmm. For others mm-hmm. and not just yourself.
Yeah. Good. I've written a question here for you to give us two or three specifics of things that you did with your kids, say before they were even up to about 3 years old, very, very early, first years of their lives. What did you do that you think that you used to try and help creating them a servant heart?
I think this is a hard question because we do have older ones. So, mm-hmm. you know, we're more involved in kind of leading them and stuff. But I think in the younger years, it's just like the day-to-day things. It's mm-hmm. It's serving your parents, you know. So like you said, finding those opportunities, those little opportunities to have them help serve you. So mm-hmm. help you with the cooking, mm-hmm. help you cleaning up the toys, and then helping them serve each other, you know, the kids, mm-hmm. By sharing toys and explaining to them why we're doing those things. Yeah. And then when you're living your life and serving other people, like bringing meals to people, you involve them. And so let's pray for this person. They're in trouble and they're in need, and we're sending them this meal. So, or draw a picture for them. Or when we have people over for Shabbat, why don't mm-hmm. you set the table for them? They would love that. And you mm-hmm. can talk about how you set the table and show them all the stuff that you did. So just really getting them involved mm-hmm. and saying, I want you to be like a part of this, you mm-hmm. know, and it gets them excited, I think mm-hmm. too. So
yeah, and it is a chain. So they always say the first one is your guinea pig. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably true. It was probably hardest with her just because, I mean, we were real young too when mm-hmm. she was born. So we didn't know what we were doing at the time, trying to figure things out. So as Allie said, I think it is. It's just trying to find little things in the day-to-day. Mm-hmm. When it was just Allie and her at home, like when I was at work during that time, Allie could pour all her energy into her and showing her specifics. Mm-hmm. And being able to do that, showing her, you know, just how to put a dish in the dishwasher, even though she's little, mm-hmm. just showing that those little things stay with them mm-hmm. and they see mom doing it. And it's something that they just want to do the older they get.
And then the little ones come in. They just are little ducklings in a row.
Each sister wants to be like the older one.
And
the verse you always tell them, because you will run into it too with kids that age and that young, that they're always wanting to do something, you know, first. And
I'm like, which one are you talking about? I'll always say, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Mm-hmm. And so then they'll all want to be last and let the other ones first. So it's been fun. And we've seen that trickle through the years of them just putting that into practice. Oh, mm-hmm. you can pick the first mm-hmm. piece of food, or you can be the first one to do that. And so, because mm-hmm. they just find delight in it, because we've made it kind of a family tradition mm-hmm. almost. So,
and I feel like as they've gotten older too, it's become more almost magnified mm-hmm. in how much they do that, and they take it steps farther now. Mm-hmm. Especially, I know we'll get to them, but individually, but mm-hmm. some other ones do it mm-hmm. different ways too. So, mm-hmm. it's very interesting.
Yeah.
That's so good. I think in my family with my brother and I, just the two of us, I think we applied the first last thing, but a little differently. Mm. So when it was time to get a spanking, I always wanted him to go first.
It can work like that too. For sure.
Honey, can you think of some stories from our kids, things that we did to help instill servant's heart?
The one that stands out to me was at the time, it was around Christmas time when we were in Kenya. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how old the boys were, it's just our two oldest. that I took, I think.
They were like 4 and 2.
Is that all they were? Yeah, so they were 4 and 2. And it was Christmas time. And in Kenya, the hospitals don't serve food to the most of the hospitals. It was certainly the government hospitals. Mm-hmm. They don't serve food to the the patients. Family brings food. And so it's really hard on people to get food up there. Sometimes sick people will not get a meal or may miss more than one meal because the family couldn't get a ride or whatever. And so I told the boys, let's go and do like Jesus and let's go serve. And so we bought some bananas and oranges, fruit. Just thought it'd be healthy for people to have good, vitamin mm-hmm. C and fruit. So we bought some fruit, just a small little basket of fruit, and took it, and each one of the boys carried a little basket of a few bananas and things. They were small, so the youngest one probably just had two bananas in their thing. And we went to these folks who were laying in beds, head to toe, sometimes two in a bed, some on the floor. It was really rural African hospitals can be sort of scary for adults, let alone for kids. So so we went into a ward where it looked probably not the most infectious things, so I felt safe with the kids. And we went down through there, and people were looking at us. Of course, we stood out, being white, and amongst all the Kenyans. But I took the boys in, and I said, go to people and give them a piece of fruit and tell them that God is thinking about them. And people didn't understand their English, probably, and sort of the kids were too young to understand the languages that were being spoken to them, but we communicated by our actions. And so everybody thinks little kids are cute, no matter what, what country you're in.
Yeah.
So I come with my little kids, and they took oranges, and they would hand it to somebody in a bed and say, in English, God is thinking about you, and so they're getting that. So we went down the road, and we gave out, our goods, and people were appreciative of the gift, and probably confused as to why we were doing it, because of the language that I did translate for them, so they eventually knew. And our boys came home, and we got to tell Mom all about it. Tell them, Mom, tell the boys. Boys, tell Mom what happened. And and they did, and they got to share the joy and the experience. And so we dipped their toe in service in that they got to go see these people, be thankful, appreciative, and they got to come home, and Mom cheered for them, and I cheered for them. And our kids are, to this day, very servant-oriented. So it works.
I think what's cool about the difference in these stories is not just location, but just this, you guys are doing it on a day in and day out basis, and mm-hmm. sometimes there's those occasional somebody's sick, somebody needs some help, so it's similar. Mm-hmm. But they remember the things that are ongoing, but they also remember those big stories mm-hmm. that stand out, and both make a huge impact on the kids.
Yeah. That actually reminds me, Leora last summer in July broke her arm really bad. Mm-hmm. And one of her sisters, when it happened, she freaked out. She was like, I wish it were me, just because her sister was hurt.
Yeah,
and it was the saddest and sweetest thing at the same time.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
And for her, which is kind of rare, just because she's so usually reserved.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that just made me think of that.
For others, yeah.
Well, you started to say something, I think, about the differences between the girls. They're all were easy and all just a natural at this service thing. Your kids are unique. Everybody else's kids are hard, but you got the lucky straw.
Okay.
Tell us about the differences and the challenges.
Well, I think I'll do the two oldest. Our 9-year-old, being the first, mm-hmm. she's very cerebral. So she loves to read, she loves to write. She's very focused on everything she does. So growing up, she was always a little more timid, and not as, I wouldn't say she's not outgoing, but not as outgoing to do things because she was nervous about reactions or mm-hmm. How certain situations will play out because she's playing it out in her mind. Mm-hmm. But as she's getting older, she's starting, I feel like, to realize the joy in it. She's seeing mm-hmm. joy in it. Mm-hmm. And seeing joy in others mm-hmm. Who might be in bad situations. So.
And with her, we really tried to push her to do things that were out of her comfort zone mm-hmm. and really worked on that, seeing that she just was distant and timid and wouldn't interact with things appropriately. And we had to really work on talking things through and and working them out with her, like speaking, because she's just thinking so much, you know.
And yeah, full on talking it out.
Yeah.
Every situation.
Yeah. And so even like, I mean, simplest thing is like we'd go to the grocery store and someone would say hello and she would just, you know, just wince at them. And then we'd go home and I'd say, honey, how do you think that person felt? And, you know, and how would you feel if you're that person? And you know, just kind of talking it out. And that really helped her. And so then we would go to the store again. And when she finally got to the point of like at least waving to the people, she'd see their response and their joy that they would bring back. And she'd say things like, mommy, that person smiled at me. Yeah. And, you know, so just like, it's just really engaging her and her like, you know,
where
thinking.
She is.
Yeah. Yeah. And did you want to talk about Leora?
Yeah, Leora. Leora, the 7-year-old. She, she's completely opposite. She has always been super outgoing. Super friendly, will talk to anyone. But she can read a room at her age amazingly. Like she knows when she should speak. She knows when it's not time to speak. She knows when one of her sisters or someone else needs a hug. And it just, she knows when to say the right thing. It's so strange. So she plays off Eden really well. I think even though they used to butt heads a little bit more because they were so different, but I feel like they kind of need each other too at the same time. They balance each other out.
But as far as service, she's always been one to like chase after us around the house and say, what can I do for you? How can I help? You know, she's just like really eager.
We had to tone down
to do
the,
that thing.
The dishes.
Yeah.
She's really in, she loves doing dishes, but it also takes 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So you could watch a full length movie while she does it, even just rinsing them up, putting them in the dishwasher.
Can we borrow her?
I know.
I know people would love to have her over. Just to help
we can discuss a rate.
But, and we found that the other two, then the last two, kind of just fall in line with their older ones. So we had to work really hard on her first and getting her to serve. And we, you know, lots of talking, of talks that we went through. And our second was a lot kind of more just inclined to do that. And I feel like the last two kind of just fall in line then. They kind of see those older two and all the stuff that we've worked on with them. And they kind of just, they find joy in what their sisters are doing. So their sisters are helping around the house. So they want to do it too, you know. And I feel like it's, so it's kind of been like that kind of in order.
And with those, and with those last two, the 4-year-old, I feel like her heart is just a giving heart. She'll give up her favorite things to her sisters, to other people, just because she wants to. It's what she wants to do. And because the 2-year-old wants to be exactly like her, she does the same thing. We actually just got pictures on the way here that the 2-year-old had two of her favorite stuffed animals, and they were sleeping over at my dad's a couple weeks ago, and their dogs have toys and stuff. And as they were leaving, she was like, toy, doggies? And she took her two favorite toys and left them behind for the dogs.
So. You guys, this is not, this is uncommon. I do think this is uncommon. But I think it's possible. And that's so encouraging. And I think a lot of it is you took the time to talk to them and train them and really know their hearts. That's so powerful and beautiful.
Yeah, you talked about two things you mentioned. The duckling thing, where the one, I think it is a fact that as the first one, so the subsequent ones. If you do really well with your oldest one, then the second one tends to follow the leader in lots of ways and attitudes. And if you don't do very well in the first one, the rest will follow the leader. And so you really do yourselves a favor, parents do themselves a favor, by really working hard at getting things right with that first one, attitudes with the first one. And it's kind of unfair because we don't know how to do it, right? And here's our first one and we got to do it right. So it takes a lot of faith.
It
takes a lot of hard work. That's right. It is why you want to be getting advice from other people about how to do it. Get advice from people who've done it well. The other thing you talked about when the, one of the girls she was kind of timid and would turn away from people, and then you would take her home later, not in front of them to embarrass her or humiliate her, but out of the context when she could think, her emotions are calmed and she can hear you. And you said, how do you think that made that person feel? Mm-hmm. It's very important to connect with feelings. Mm-hmm. People look for behavior. You should not do that, or you should do this.
Yeah.
And kids don't connect with that. But when you say, how do you feel in that situation? And when they can get that, then they can know how to treat the other person without necessarily having to spell out, here's what you do or don't do.
Mm-hmm.
But they'll get that. So well done. That's perfect. That's the way you train them.
Well, just to clarify, though, it's great to see as they get older and stuff, mm-hmm. but these are good stories, but there was also a lot of not so good stories
yeah.
too.
I know you have stories that you wouldn't mind sharing, either where it's been hard to train them, or it's backfired.
Little disasters.
Yeah. Well, I know we both kind of have one. I got one that was more of a disaster, and I believe I was trying to remember. It was one of the first Passovers we did, and you guys got a little taste of it when you came over because they love to make gifts mm-hmm. for people. No matter what it is,
mm-hmm.
they didn't find out of the trash, but they could find something out of the trash mm-hmm. and make it into a gift.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the first time we let them do it, we were busy getting set up for Passover, getting the table ready, the house ready, everything, the food.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like, yeah, go ahead. You can make whatever you want. You can give them. We come out to the table right before people show up, and there's like the brown paper bags full of paper strips that had been rolled and taped. No explanation. They just wanted to give it to people.
Yeah.
So everyone had lunch bags full of paper mache or paper confetti.
Yeah.
And it was all over the house for, what, 3 months after
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
So it ruined our Passover cleaning.
Yeah.
But,
but our another story was when I went to a nursing home and I was doing this service act and I was doing a craft and I thought, oh, I'll bring my daughters with me, and they were so excited to do the craft. And so we got there and we set up the tables, and the whole time my kids were screaming because their crafts weren't going right, and I was having to do this craft with these, you know, these residents at this nursing home. And you know, it was like, oh my gosh, I'm just running tending to my kids and then running back trying to tend, and you know, I thought they were going to come alongside and help me. I didn't realize that they were going to be perfectionists.
I was gonna say, that's the perfectionist tendencies that came out.
With their stamps and, you know, all of that stuff. So it doesn't go smoothly, and I think, you know, every time. But it's just the working at it and just keep going. And
then having the conversations about it after.
Yeah.
Like,
yes.
Why that didn't go so well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
there's
that's
still training.
Yeah. That's part of the training often is working and say, why did it not work? Or what should we do next time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or not do next time. That's part of the training.
Yeah.
And when you're working with kids, you cannot expect them to do things perfectly or do well, especially the first few times. But you can't expect them to learn every time if you train them,
mm-hmm.
if you take them away and talk about it.
Right.
And then they can learn. So
that's
the process. It is training.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's in like the little things too, isn't it? Like those little things add up. Like
absolutely.
You're training like every day, every opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
That comes up is an important opportunity to take.
Mm-hmm.
And I find on those days that I'm just busy, I miss all these opportunities, you know? And that's just, I think that that's such an important thing, just the little tiny things, and they add up to a big thing, right?
And it is, and I think people, when we're in public and we're trying something, to get our kids to sit still.
Yeah.
In a public situation, or to come when we say come, and to immediately come just because we're in the public, and they don't. It's because at home we don't train them to obey the first time, to sit still, to help out, to listen, to not talk back. We don't train them at home, and we go out in the public and we expect them to obey because we need them to, and they don't, and it's humiliating to us. They get scolded or they don't know. So it's our fault.
Mm-hmm.
So it really is important you use home time to do that training, and it is in the little things.
Yeah.
And if you do it there, and you do it well there, then when they go out, they'll do fine too.
Right.
Do you have something else here, another question or story?
Well, just if you want to share with us sometimes when you knew that your hard work had paid off that your daughters, that you had, that they had a heart of service.
You have to narrow this down from all of those stories down to just a couple of them.
Gosh, that this is the fun part, right? It's in mm-hmm. in doing that, in knowing that, like, wow, I did this, you know, and we've worked really hard on this, and not I've done this, but like you've chosen what mm-hmm. we've worked mm-hmm. on. Mm-hmm. So not too long ago, our neighbor lost her husband. Right before the winter started, and my girls have been talking about missing her because it's cold and because of COVID, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. And so they decided to bring over a care package for her. Yeah, it was so cool.
They did all of it.
They picked their favorite teas. We drink tea mm-hmm. every day. Mm-hmm. So, and they wrapped it up in ribbon, and then they each wrote her a letter. And what else did they bring her? Chocolates. They brought her some mm-hmm. of their favorite chocolates. And they went over all by themselves. Aww. That my kids are, our kids mm-hmm. are shy.
Especially your oldest, who said was timid. She still, she led that charge.
My mouth just about hit the ground when they're like, we're going to do this, and we're bringing it over now, if that's okay. Mm-hmm.
Aww,
so they just knocked on the door wow. and brought it over, and it was like, wow, that's yeah. great. Yeah. And I was just so excited. I'm like, I want to go and say hi to Miss Helen. I was like, no, this is important that they do that. And so it was sweet. And they came back with their faces glowing and shining.
And I think recently, probably since COVID started, about a year ago, it really has ratcheted up. Them really going out of their way to do things. Mm-hmm. Even for us, I was switching jobs several weeks ago, and I remember coming home the one day, and our oldest had given us, it was from all of them, but mm-hmm. She led the charge, had given me a gift, and she wanted to buy the whole family dinner. Mm. So we have different jobs and stuff that they can earn money for each week, mm-hmm. and they have like a giving fund, a spending fund, and a fun money. Mm-hmm. They pulled their money, they put it together, they bought us an Aladdin's gift card because we love Aladdin's,
mm-hmm.
and we had to go get dinner, and we could not spend more than the gift card. They refused to let us
pay
anything.
They were like, we do not want you to spend any money. We want to pay for the whole dinner. Aww. And it was really, I feel like there was kind of this air in the house. So we were just in transition and stressed, and they just felt it. And they just kept saying, Mommy and Daddy, we don't want you to have to worry about anything. We just, we want you to be able to just sit down and have dinner.
Remind everybody, how old are these girls?
9, 7, 4, and 2. I got it.
Yes, there you go.
7, 4, and 2.
And you got it. Yeah. So it was really special.
And you guys have done a great job. And those kids are going to be fine. They're going to be servants, as the king is a servant. So well done. We're going to have to close because we're about out of time here. Yeah. But I know you have lots more stories. People at Beth Tacoon will get to hear them if they'll pull you aside and ask about them. And I hope they will.
Yeah. Yeah,
but thanks for taking time and sharing this. It's really important. And we'd like to see more families taking this and having their kids come up with this kind of heart. Because it's the heart of the king. It is.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for having us. This was fun.
Yeah. So, next week, we'll have another Restoring Home. Be sure to check below in the comments or down in the area below for links and for resources and other materials that we prepared for you or suggest for you. It'll help you to prepare your children to train your children to have a heart of service. So until next week, God bless.